Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning I speak about the reasonable Christian. The reasonable Christian. You know, some Christians are unreasonable. But I speak about the reasonable Christian today. Romans 12, 1 and 2. There's a difference between reformation and transformation. Reformation is when changes are made without. Transformation are changes that are wrought from within. Paul called on his hearers to be transformers, not the one on the electric pole, but the one who is changed from within. The greatest decision you have to make in life is not what kind of job you should have or where you must live. The greatest decision a Christian has to make is not whether to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated. The greatest decision you have to make in life is whether you will become a conformer to this world or a transformer in this world. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is the difference between a conformer and a transformer? Well, according to Paul the Apostle and the rest of the Bible, it is quite obvious. A conformer is one whose life is controlled by pressure from without. One that adapts or conforms to this world and its system or values. You know, we see a lizard in Zimbabwe all the time called a chameleon. They're huge. And you see them sometimes, they're not detectable because they conform to whatever they're crawling on. And sometimes you may even go and sit on one because they're on a branch, a tree, a huge branch, and they look the same as the branch. A transformer is one that is controlled by a power from within. A transformer is one who changes the world around them. I like what Warren Wiersbe said in his book. He said, "Conformers are those who are sacrificed to the world. Transformers are living sacrifices that changes their world." There's a big difference. Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt, was placed in Potiphar's house. He was soon accused and placed in a jail cell. He was later promoted to be second in command. A whole nation was changed by Joseph. Daniel and his three friends were removed to a foreign heathen culture. They changed their names. They changed their diet. They even changed their curriculum, but they couldn't change their religion. They became transformers who changed their world. Daniel was promoted to be the head statesman in Babylon. Phillips' translation says, "Do not allow the world to squeeze you into its own mold." Paul says, "Do not be continually shaped by the world." Lot and his wife became conformers. They lost everything, their gain in Sodom, and they still went back to the cesspool. Lot lost his wife and practically his two daughters. Jonah became a conformer and almost sunk a ship filled with innocent men. A conformer will not make a difference where they are in the world. Some of you don't make a difference where you are in this world. Their presence is not deeply missed when they're gone. A transformer is missed where they worship, where they work. They're being asked for, even on the mission field. When are you coming? Someone said that once there was a group of men sitting and talking in a barber shop in Massachusetts. D.L. Moody walked in and everyone went quiet. He never said a word, but he sat in his chair and he waited his turn to get his hair cut. When he walked out, a stranger asked, "Who was this man?" Someone answered, "That was Mr. Moody, the preacher from Illinois." When you are a transformer, others around you will see a difference. Even locally, sometimes you walk into a room and the conversations went blank, go blank. That's a man. People look for holes. That's a transformer. Today, many of you do not make a difference in your church and in this world. How do one become a transformer? How do one become a living sacrifice? To become a transformer, there are four essential ingredients that are necessary. But I'll show you from the words of the apostle. For one to be a transformer, one must have a grateful heart. Paul the apostle did not begin the subject in Romans 12:1. The word therefore sends us back to what Paul was teaching back in Romans 9, 10, and 11. The apostle was teaching theology. He was teaching on the sovereignty of God in saving his people. He was teaching on the doctrine of election, doctrines that most reformers believe. He was teaching on eschatology and the spiritual hardness of national Israel. But Paul came to a conclusion in Romans 11, verses 33 through 36, with a doxology. You see, what Paul did is he moved from theology to doxology. And when one is taught biblical theology, they will have a grateful heart, one that worships God. Paul says, in this great doxology, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." A transformer has a grateful heart, one that is indebted to the God who saved them. Doctrine is meant to produce worship. You can always tell those who are taught false doctrine. It comes out in the way they worship. Pure worship comes from correct doctrine, which results in a grateful heart that has become transformed. You and I don't need to know everything to have a grateful heart. I don't know everything. Sometimes people ask me questions and all, I say, I don't know. You mean you're teaching the Bible and you don't know? Yeah, I don't know. And I never claim to know everything. When one comes to recognize who God is and what they are, one will have a grateful heart. A heart that worships God. Many of you don't have that heart that desires to worship God. We want to worship the world and ourselves. Some of us can't wait to rush through that door. It's first essential ingredient that one must have. The apostle continues this glorious doxology by showing another byproduct of a grateful heart. A grateful heart will be a thankful heart. Notice verse 34 and 35 of chapter 11. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? A thankful heart will not tell the Lord what they want to do, but a thankful heart will do what God commands us to do. You get weary repeating yourself again and again and again in this church. A person can say thank you and not have a thankful heart. The apostle says in Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Notice the body again, where you ought to be thankful, in the body. Thankful for the Lord's arrangement in the body. Thankful for his placing in your life. Thankful for his gracious provision. Thankful for the spiritual path where he have led you. Some of you are putting matters in your own hands. You want to add one cubit to your stature. You're not thankful. Paul asks, for who have known the mind of the Lord? It's a rhetorical question. No one. A thankful heart will not seek to give counsel to God, but it will gladly receive counsel from God, whether it comes from a servant of God. Let's get with it. We have a long way to go in this church. We think we have arrived. We haven't arrived nowhere. Some of you are, I find you the same way 20 years ago. But thirdly, a grateful heart glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the text in Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Let's note these things carefully. First essential ingredient needed in becoming a transformer or a living sacrifice is one must have a grateful heart. And it is grateful because of something that happened for them to pronounce such a doxology. A grateful heart will be thankful. A grateful heart will glorify the Lord Jesus and not self. Paul began with these words of worship in Romans 11, 33 through 36. Don't ever read Romans 12, 1 and 2 without backing up and reading Romans 11, 33 through 36, where Paul moved from theology to doxology. So, for you to become a transformer, before you can present your body to God as a living sacrifice, you must have this heart. Let's move to our second main head. To become a transformer, one must have a willing heart. A willing heart. And this is where we go to Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Actually, it should be, which is your reasonable worship. The giving of your bodies. The apostle says, I beseech you. He didn't say, I command you. I urge you. Because of the mercies of God, one doesn't have to twist the hand of a willing heart. One doesn't have to coerce a willing heart. Paul says, I urge you. There are three living sacrifices offered in the scriptures. One was in Genesis 22 when Abraham offered his son Isaac. Isaac willingly went with his father to the altar. He's a picture. He did not resist. On Mount Moriah, he followed the leading of Abraham. He was as good as dead, the Bible says, and raised from the dead. The other living sacrifice, of course, was the ultimate sacrifice, the one that Isaac foreshadowed. Christ gave himself in obedience to his Father. He was led to the Lamb. He did not open his mouth as he was led to his shearers. There's a third one that we rarely speak about. And that's the Apostle Paul himself, who sought to be like Christ. And said this in Philippians 2:17. He says, yeah, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul saw himself like the Savior who sacrificed himself for the Gentiles. Paul did not surrender himself to the knife, but to service. And when we look at all three of these human sacrifices to God, there is a common denominator. They were all offered willingly with joy. Today, Paul in Romans 12 is not calling on Christians to give their lives. I was just glancing at Fox's Book of Martyrs. God may not ask us to give our lives literally. Everyone is not called to be a martyr. But he's calling us to present our lives willingly, out of heartfelt gratitude. The apostle says, another place, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you to do and to will of his good pleasure. The Lord transforms within. The believer reforms without. If you are looking to reform without a transformation, it cannot last, as you are seeing right in your face. You get tired of it. You'll quit. You'll see it as drudgery. Hard saying. Who can hear it? Sacrifices in the old economy were presented alive, without blemish, without thorn. This is the pattern the apostle uses. He uses two words that describes this sacrifice: holy and acceptable. When you rush in here any time at the last minute, that's not acceptable. When you do sloppy work in coming to minister, that's not acceptable. If God don't accept it, why would you want the pastor to accept it? Why is the apostle calling us to present our bodies as living sacrifices? Well, because our bodies are the temple of God. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and with your bodies. God will not do anything in this world without a body. When God sent his people down to Egypt, he first sent Joseph, a body. When God wanted to bring his people out of Egypt, he sent Moses, a body. When God brought redemption to the world, he did not supply the world with angels or disembodied spirits. Almighty God used the body of Mary, a clean vessel, to give Jesus a human body. The scripture says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, in the volume of the book which is written of me. What are you telling me? You think I'm going to buy that? Your regularity in absence? Your scarcity? Today, Christ's body is no longer on earth. It's in heaven. But he has left a spiritual body on earth. The church, we are members of his body. Christians are called the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body. Some of you don't believe that. If you are part of the body, what place are you playing in the body? Where do you fit in the body? Are you a loose cannon? Or a lone ranger? The Bible doesn't teach that at all. Not this text. The apostle reminded the Ephesians that God hath put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Where is our theology? No wonder there's no doxology. Because we have wrong theology. God will not do any good deed in our church without our bodies. He needs fingers to play the instrument in worship. He needs feet to run errands for the Lord. He needs a mouth to proclaim the gospel faithfully. When God sent one of his servants out on the mission field, the body still remains. But sometimes the body is AWOL, the members of the body. God at times can take a mouth and send that mouth somewhere. But where are the hands and the feet when he's gone? God doesn't do anything. I am part of the body. You are part of the body. He needs children who attend Sunday school classes. And he needs parents to get them ready and to motivate them at home in the way you live. That's how you motivate your children at home. Brother, like I say to you, if you're wearing those holy jeans and those things, don't expect your children to dress any different. And I'm appalled that nobody else said anything about it. I'm appalled. You're being transformed. You're not conforming to this world. Don't expect magic today. We need more transformers and less reformers. A transformer will have a grateful heart. They will have a willing heart to present their bodies. A couple of weeks ago, I heard an announcement was made. I still see the grass back there as high as the roof. You'll get to it because I say it, but that's not how it's supposed to be. And now all of you looking at it every week. Don't expect magic. We need transformers. Willing hearts. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The third essential in being a transformer, or for one to be a living sacrifice, you must have a renewed mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, this is very vital, because how people think is how they behave. This is what I meant when I said transformers are those who are controlled by a power from within. They begin to think differently. A good illustration is the man that Jesus cured who was possessed by demons. And some people don't understand that every unsaved person is demon possessed, because you're either possessed by the Holy Spirit or by an evil spirit. To be possessed just means someone dwelling in you. But that's a good illustration. When someone came to see the man that was healed, the Bible says he was seated with Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And this is characterizes the believer. When we are saved, we are transformed within, and it shows without. The Bible says he was seated with Jesus. Christians are seated with Christ in heavenly places. The Bible says he was clothed. In other words, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. He was in his right mind. Means he now had the mind of Christ. That's why the Lord said to him, look, go home and tell your friends what God did to you. He became a missionary. See it there, right there with this man. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, that's the word again, into the same image from glory to glory. In other words, there's a process of sanctification, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The glass where we see ourselves is the Word of God. James says the one who hears the word and is not a doer is like a man looking or beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Or natural face, according to James, is a reflection of the natural man who is unchanged. But the transformer has a new mind. Romans 8 tells us this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they after the spirit the things that are spiritual. So brethren, when you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, it begins. It will begin with a grateful heart. Will it be expressed with a willing heart? Will be seen with a renewed mind. But the Apostle Paul didn't stop there. He states a fourth essential for us to become living sacrifices or transformers. A transformer will have a servant's attitude. A servant's attitude. You know what's a servant, right? Servant doesn't have any rights, really. Sometimes you hear all the rights Christians demanding. I heard this just recently. I have a right to do that. The only right that you have is to live for Christ. You need to stop that. As much as we have been around the gospel, we haven't been taught the gospel. Paul says in verse 3 of Romans 12, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone," he didn't say some, "to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one," notice again, "to each one a measure of faith." To each one of the members, a measure of faith. The apostle, from this point, will now get into the practicalities of being a transformer. The one presenting their bodies as living sacrifices. He's getting into the matter of Christian service. And he points to each one. Every true believer is given a measure of faith. It is as if we have buckets. And each bucket has a certain amount of faith in it. But each one of us have a bucket. Each one of us have a vessel, so to speak. Let me clarify that with you. The only one whose faith was not measured was the Son of God. The Bible says in John 3:34 that God does not give the Spirit to him by measure. In him all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. The Apostle says in verse 4 of Romans 12, "For as we have many members in one body," you can't get away. You see what Paul is doing. "But all the members do not have the same function." I'll read it from the New King James. "So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Sometimes we go off the scene for 2 weeks. We come back and we think nobody is worrying or thinking about us. Don't even know where you've gone. How am I going to pray Tuesday night? Let God protect you where you go. Notice that I don't ever call on names that I don't know where they are. As far as I'm concerned, you might be in a ditch. The apostle uses the words members and body as metaphors of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Notice the delicacy. Notice the intimacy that exists between Christ and the body. Some of us feed our bodies with wholesome foods. We don't eat this, we don't eat that. We eat gluten-free. We don't eat meat, we don't eat this. We make sure that we put these things in our bodies because we have control over the extension of our lives. We think by doing that, that God will add. Not necessarily true. God might cut us down with a healthy body. So all well and good, we seek to nourish our bodies, but we should seek to nourish the body of Christ with that which is wholesome, with our precious time, with our strength, with our presence, with our resources. That's how we nourish the body. My brethren, all four, of these essentials that I shared with you is summarized. You should be clever enough to put it together. All four of those essentials I shared with you are summarized with one word. And if you can't put it together, you didn't understand the message. And if you need me to quote a verse to you that can help you, the best verse that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And all things are of God. And this is all I'm saying this morning. This is all I have to say. Romans 12:1-3. You and I have to make a big decision. Would I become a conformer in this world? Or would I be a transformer? A conformer is sacrifice to the world. A transformer has become a living sacrifice. Give up his time, his treasure, his body for Christ. We need these four essentials. One, a grateful heart. A grateful heart will express itself in thankfulness. A grateful heart will seek to glorify Christ. Second, we need a willing heart, one that is free of saying what I will do and what I will not do. A renewed mind, a change of thinking, a servant's attitude. So in this message this morning, brethren, what the apostle is teaching in Romans 12 is very practical. That's why he says, therefore, having given you theology, therefore, I will now give you practicality. This is Romans 12 and on to Romans 16. He is showing in Romans 12 that the Christian life is one of relationships. You may say, but I don't like relationships. I'm a maverick. I'm a loner. I'm all to myself. Well, if you are like this, you are not reading the Bible. And you're not listening to the preaching from the Bible. You're not listening. Paul began by showing the Christian's relationship to God. That's where it starts. Just like Pastor Bavard gave you that thing one time. He's right. I still have mine by the phone. Whenever I'm doing my devotions, it's right in my face. I hope you still have yours. Paul started by showing the Christian's relationship to God, the very thing that men love. God calls upon us to present to him. The very son that Abraham cherished is the very son that God asked to present to him. The very Son of God, the most precious commodity of the Father, was given to man. This is a tall order for lost mankind. God does not require part of us. I am not a part-time Christian. I am not a part-time worshiper like some are. And some of us think that being part-time is all. It's full-time. It is either full-time or no time. He starts with the body. Present your body. Money that you earn, present that. The time that you have, present that. The children that are under your roof, present them. We have been enjoying a cheap gospel and a cheap Christianity. We must read good books. We must listen to good sermons. And we'll hear the same thing. Paul began by showing a believer's relationship first to God. And that's what Abraham did. Apostle Paul says, don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Of course, the harlot in the context of 1 Corinthians is not one of the ladies of the night. We all are familiar with the word harlot. But Paul was not speaking of the prostitutes in Corinth. The harlot, in the context of the Word of God, is the world. The world called for our bodies. The world calls for our time. The world calls for our substance. The world even calls for our souls. Paul says, present those things as living sacrifices to God. What's your relationship to God? I don't know. I know what I see. God claims the bodies of his people. This is reasonable. In the old economy, God commanded Moses, saying in Exodus 13, he spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn Whatever opens the womb out of the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. When did Jesus was the firstborn? The firstborn has a twofold meaning. Jesus is the firstborn who was consecrated to God. God's children are the firstborn. We're told that Christ is the firstborn of many brethren. And if he's the firstborn, it means there are others. And God says, they're mine. So, the apostle begins Romans 12 by showing a Christian's relationship to God. It belongs to him. God calls us to present our bodies to him as living sacrifices, not dead sacrifices, day by day. When we leave home in the morning, present your bodies. When you come back home at night, when you put your head down, present your bodies. Even in sleeping, I ask God not to let the devil bombard my mind with dreams that are unholy. Present your body. Do you pray for that? Yes, I do. I don't know what I'm capable of thinking about during the day when it fleshes out in the night. The second thing the apostle calls our attention to is the Christian's relationship to the world. I believe we hear a lot of that this morning, but we didn't plan this. So don't go away in your smartness saying you told them to set up. Messages are preached, done 2 weeks in advance. And I don't have to do that anyway. I don't have to piggyback off of nobody. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to control your thinking. And oh boy, how this comes out here in these pews with some of the attitudes that I see. The world, the pouting, the world. This has ever been the test for God's people throughout history. The world. It started in the Garden of Eden, the world. Of God said, the world. Tempted with the world. What the world offers. Jesus tempted with many offerings from the world. The power. The pleasures. The position. If you worship me, you get these things. A lot of you do that. Pastor, my daughter can't come today. She had to track me. The world. All it is. Paul says, present your bodies. Well, all that's in the world is the L's, the lusts. Paul said, I did not know covetousness, or I did not know what lust, until the law says, don't covet. It tells me Paul had lustful thoughts for the world. These are some of the things the apostle is directing us to, and that's why I give the application outline to you and not the textual outline. And if you look, you should see, because that's what I want you to see. Leave the textual for me. I'll deal with that. Leave the theology for me. You do the practical. The third thing Paul wants us to consider is our relationship to the body of Christ. All three of these determines who we are in this church. We need to stop kidding ourselves. What is your relationship to the body? Are you one like, now you see me, now you don't? We've addressed this so many times, how people brush past you and don't even greet you. After laboring in doctrine, hardly say thank you. Not grateful. How is your relationship to the body? This is the local body here. This heading begins from verse 3 and runs to the end of the book of Romans as the apostle lays out the behavior of a believer in the body of Christ. You heard me say it many times. A Christian is gauged in the body of Christ. Not any place else in the body. If it's a church that has scriptural officers, the Christian is gauged in that body. When God wanted a king, he tells Samuel, go to Jesse's house. What do you think he says? Go to Jesse's house in Bethlehem. What do you think he went there? It's reflective of the house of God. David became a great king. Israel said, we want a king like the world. They were worldly. How is your relationship with the gathered saints? God didn't create the church as a social gathering, but a spiritual body that offers spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. We offer spiritual sacrifices. What there's nothing secular about the church. We give money, that's a spiritual sacrifice. We pray, that's a spiritual sacrifice. We sing, that's a spiritual sacrifice. We preach, that's a spiritual sacrifice to God. We sit and listen, that's a spiritual sacrifice to God. That's reasonable. Are you a reasonable Christian? Or are you unreasonable? Paul said this is reasonable. Therefore, we can risk all of these things I show you, I labored on. We can ask the question, am I a conformer to this world? Or have I become a transformer in this world? No. A conformer don't go about crusade. A transformer don't go about crusading with placards. A conformer live distinctively changed lives in this world or wherever they are. A transformer is one who is changed within and is expressing that change without. May the Lord help us to be transformers. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for your help. And we give you thanks most of all for the Son of God, who has made things new to us. We pray, O Lord, that through your Spirit, that you will help us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that is God who works and who wills for us to do of his good pleasure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.